Well, again, welcome to Neighbors Service today. I am so glad that you are able to join us today. And it means a lot for us that you are here. It means a lot that we are able to do this in such a time. You know, we are facing a new year here today. This is the first service of 2021. And so, for those of you keeping track, I guess that's a milestone. For me, it's kind of like it's just an everyday thing. I don't make resolutions per se. I don't make a big deal for the New Year's Eve. I went to bed early. You know, I don't celebrate and stuff. But I encourage us always to live every day as if it is the first day of your life and the last day of your life. In other words, can we measure our lives by that day? Or even more so, by the moment that we are, the existence of here and now. We are so focused on the future, we are so focused on the past, we are so focused, but to the here and now, how does the past aid us? How does the thoughts of the future aid us in what we are doing here and now? If today is the first day of our lives, we have a journey ahead. We have a journey ahead that could be just today. Today could be our journey. Imagine that. If today you woke up and you said, this is the day. This is the day that I start doing something. This is the day that that I make a difference in this world. This is the day where I leave my mark. This is the day where I truly love God with all my heart. Where I love myself the way that God loves me, and where I love my neighbor as God loves my neighbor. This is the day, starting now. This is it. And if you've already woke up and you've already hated somebody, well, now is the time to start. This is the time to start. That's what's so great about it. We can start with moments. It doesn't have to be a 24-hour period. Doesn't have to be a measurement. It can be a moment that we can start with. We all have this journey ahead of us, and it starts right now. That's amazing, because when it starts right now, we can forget the things that we messed up on yesterday. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. It doesn't have to be a new year. It just is a new moment. You know, when my son was very young, when it comes to dates and ages and stuff, I always forget that stuff. I just remember he was about this tall. But we went out, and I did that father thing where we learned how to ride a bike. And it was such a special moment. And it wasn't more than one moment. It was a series of learning how to ride a bike. And you take this small child, and the first thing, when you give them this bike, they're excited. They want to learn about it. You know, they want to explore the world with it. And you put them on it, and you've got the training wheels and stuff, and you kind of work them through. But there's training involved. You have to. They have no muscle memory concept of how the legs move the wheels, and how the arms move to steer. They all have to learn that as if it for the first time. You know, we always hear the saying, like, it's just like riding a bike. But there was a time when any of us that have ever ridden a bike first had to learn this foreign contraption, this thing that didn't make sense to us. If you tell somebody that they have to be able to move their legs like this and be able to turn at the same time, and at the same time focus on where they are going, and at the same time be aware of their surroundings, it's something that can seem overwhelming, and it's something that can seem like it's an impossible task. But as many of us know that have ridden a bike, it's something that we can achieve. It's something that at one time felt so foreign and so strange, but it's something that we all did. It's something that we achieved and were able to do. And that's what happened with my son, too. We went out to, we were ready for the training wheels. And we were ready to take those off. And I even got him a different bike. And it was kind of like this one in the picture here. Gosh, I hope that you can see this because I just set a button on master control. You know, on that monitor in there, am I on? Hey, I'm doing this. This is another muscle memory. I should have just preached on this. But the bike was like this. It had the knobby tires and all that stuff, and we were ready to take those training wheels off, and we went out to a place over here called the Mopac Trail, and it's a limestone trail that can go from Lincoln all the way to, I believe, like Wabash or something like that. I mean, it can go a long way. You go through Eagle, you go through Walton, and I felt like he was ready. And it took a couple of times where we would get on the bike and I would run beside him, and then I would gradually get him where he was pedaling, and then you slowly, running beside him, you slowly let go. And of course, he would fall. And now we have something new to learn, and that is the fear that comes with the falling. But the encouragement that comes with, that was a moment. This is another one. And we encourage to get back on the bike and do it again. And so many times, there were falls. But on that Mopac Trail, I remember running beside him. And I felt it. It just felt through my hands. It felt like he was taking control on his own. He was able to balance on his own. The things that he was learning while on the training wheels and everything were coming into play, and he was now adding balance. He was adding courage. He was adding faith to be able to go. And I remember I let go, and he just took off. As a matter of fact, he took off so far, I had to run to catch up with him, and he took off and got out of my sight. He rode for, I'm not kidding here, about a mile. I had to run about a mile to find my son, who was sitting proudly beside his bike, able to ride for the first time. And now I was afraid that I was going to have to walk all the way back. But it was a very proud moment. We teach our kids things. Anybody that, and it doesn't even have to be our kids, we teach things in our world. We teach things and we leave things behind. In this moment that we start today, we will leave an impact. We will leave a ripple effect. In this moment, right now, whatever we are doing right now leaves a ripple effect wherever we are. And that can last longer than the moments. Me being able to teach my son how to ride gave him freedom and gave him the ability to travel. It opened up a whole bunch of things for him. And the reason I was able to do that is because somebody taught me how to do that. Every one of our moments, many times, whether it's a new year, whether it's a new day, whether it's a new just here and now, can be like learning to ride a bike. Because sometimes we are faced with things that are different. Sometimes we are faced with the things that are unknown. Sometimes we have to explore things or have things come into our place where, just like riding the bike, we don't think that we can handle it. We don't think that we can do it. We don't have the faith yet. We have the fear of falling. But we can do it. And sometimes we fall, and sometimes we stay there until someone else helps us up. And that's when we become a community. That's when we become a church. That's when we become a kingdom of God. A kingdom of God. Jesus didn't come here to just give people like Willy Wonka the golden ticket. He came here to help people learn how to help each other. To help us learn how to ride, and to help us to ask for help when we fall, and to help us be the people that help others when they fall. Today's the first day of our lives. This moment is the first moment of our lives. This moment could be the last moment of our lives here on earth. If we think about every moment, if we think about every day as what am I passing forward? What am I leaving behind? What am I sharing with this world? What lessons do I want to pass on? Like teaching to ride the bike, is there anything that I can pass on to have us help to have that faith to go forward in our journey? I think at this time of Paul the Apostle, he wrote letters. You know, he was a church planter, and he couldn't stay with them forever when he helped plant a church. There were times when Paul had to move on, but he wrote letters of encouragement. He stayed connected, and sometimes in some of his final letters, it was almost like he was leaving instructions. In the letters to the Romans, which is one of the last things that he ever wrote, it's like he's leaving instructions so that we can all get on our bikes. It's from Romans 2 and 9 through 21, and I'm gonna read these. Because when I read these, it is something that teaches me how to be a Christian. It's something that that I want to base my life on. When I begin every moment, or every day, every 24-hour period, and start fresh, these are the lessons I want to start with. These are the lessons that I want to pass on. Right now, we are in a crazy time, and we are in a crazy world where everyone's trying to tell people or lecture to people or tell people that they're wrong. If this were my last day, these are the words that I would want to pass on. Not as a lecture, not as a correction, not as a scolding, but just as something to leave a mark, I guess. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Let love be genuine. Let it be real. So many times in our world, we feel something, but we try to repress it, and we try to hold back on it. We don't want to tell people how much we care about them or how much we love them. It's nonsense. Our love is genuine and our love is real and should be shared. It should be shared with each other. And do you notice how he says, hate what is evil, not hate who is evil? Every one of us, we face evil in our world. We face evil from outside sources, but we even face evil from within. In the negative talk that we give ourselves, in the ways that we put ourselves down, in the way that we put our neighbor down, our hateful speech, are lashing out at people that disagree with us, are villainizing of people. That's the evil that we are called to hate, not the people. We are supposed to hate the evil that causes us in our hearts to sometimes come off as evil ourselves. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. outdo one another in showing honor. What if that was the thing that we competed with? Right now, we live so much in who's right, who's stronger, who has more power, who's richer, who's better, who wins. But what if the competition that we guided our lives with were that I'm gonna be the most honorable. I'm gonna treat people with the most honor. That's the ladder that I want to climb. The ladder of honor and kindness and love and understanding, acceptance, respect. That's outdo one another. Imagine if that was our goal, not to win, but to love. If we did that to each other every day, if we set out this moment, this new day, and said, I'm gonna honor people. I'm gonna honor them so hard. The world would be a different place. Do not lag in zeal. Zeal is the energy that puts us forward. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. This is a new day. Are you taking Christ with you? Are you taking the message of Christ with you? Are you taking this moment to tell people, to tell yourselves about the love of Christ? Are you focused on just this short-term happiness? Or are you focusing on eternal joy? Taking Christ with you. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Find the blessings in our lives. Find the things that are hopeful. Remember, hope is not always the things that are here and now. Hope is the things that I'm doing to get to something. That also is hope. Hope is getting on that bike, not knowing how far you're going to go yet, but getting on that bike because you have hope of riding. And be patient in our suffering. We want satisfaction here and we want it now. Sometimes our suffering can be quite overwhelming. And that's when we persevere in prayer. Prayer can be a request. Prayer can be talking to God. Prayer can sometimes even be saying, God, I don't get this. I don't understand it. Help me with my patience. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. You know what's funny about this one? I don't know who all the saints are. I don't know. Some people I know in my life have been quite saintly. Some people that I have admired and people that I have wanted to be like. I believe they are saints. I believe my wife is a saint. But there are people in this world, I don't know if they're saints or not. So what if I extended hospitality to strangers? What if I extended hospitality to everybody? What if I contributed to everybody? The chances are I would also be contributing to people who are saintly, right? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Paul's writing this in a time when Christianity is persecuted. People are being arrested for just being a Christian. He's talking about the people that are actually coming for them and trying to smash their faith, their religion. This is bigger than the ability to say Merry Christmas. This is the ability to have a faith. We talk about, and we always hear people about people that are trying to rob us of our faith or give away our rights and all of this kind of stuff. This is really a time when people were arrested, persecuted, and killed for being a Christian. It's a little different than what you hear in our Western culture of what people say, they're trying to rob me of my faith. And during this extreme time, he's asking people to bless them and do not curse them. Once we curse someone, we make them a villain in our lives. We make them the enemy in our lives. How are we ever going to expand our faith and share the love of Christ if we start to put walls and accuse people of being an enemy? Isn't it easier to win someone over by welcoming them rather than by pushing them away or calling them names? Or yelling at them? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. This is a very simplistic saying here, but basically what Paul is saying is what you are feeling matters. Whether you are feeling joyful or whether you are feeling sad, you might have woke up this morning, a new day, not feeling too good. Not feeling too good. That's why the church is so important. That's why we as a community are so important, because we look out for each other and we care about each other and we reach out to each other and we cry together. We laugh together. We weep together. We're there for each other. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. That means thinking highly of yourself, but associate with the lowly. That means anyone that you think is below yourself. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Some of us, we think that we have all the answers and we have nothing to learn from anybody. Definitely not people that we think are less than us. And we do think that people are less than us. But imagine if we saw every single person on the planet as somebody that we could learn from. That somebody had something within them where we could gain wisdom. Where we could gain understanding. As soon as we start labeling people, as soon as we start putting people into different categories, prejudiceness, bigotry kicks in. We don't go further. We don't learn. We don't understand. We don't grow. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. History has shown us that to fight someone that's fighting you only grows the fight. That wars only cause more wars. That hatred only causes more hatred. That the solution is beyond something other than if somebody hates you, you just hate them back. There's more to that. There's a different way of doing this. And we still are having trouble with that. Today seems like more than ever, if you disagree with me, you are out of here. I hate you. You're wrong. And we show them just as much evil as we accuse them of showing us. And we get no closer to a solution. Paul, 2,000 years ago, knew this. And he pled with people to take thought for what is noble, what is righteous, what is good, and in the sight of all people. There's that inclusion again. All people. That does not mean that we are special, they are not. We are safe, they are not. That means all people. We, this moment, this new day, can start again by treating all people with love. All people with understanding. All people with kindness. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, oftentimes people have read this. If it If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. People like to say, okay, now I get to choose who I'm peaceful with. I get along with that person, so I'll be peaceful with him, but that one, no way. That's not what they're talking about. They really are talking about, there are people in our world right now that are loving people that are find themselves in abusive situations. There are people that are being hurt. There are people that are in marriages or relationships where they are either physically or emotionally abused. And sometimes the peace that we seek does mean separation. It does mean removing ourselves from that situation. And Paul was aware of that back then, just as we are now. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. But if you have to get out of a situation, if you have to keep yourself safe, if you have to be able to distance yourself or create boundaries so that you can create peace, that is sometimes what we need to do. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. Oh, here's one that we always... For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Man, this is where that the passive-aggressive, where we don't like somebody and we say, well, I'll pray for you. That's where that comes from. Because what we do is we go over there and say, God, I know that he's a jerk. Why don't you go and smite him and or give him a canker sore or just do something that makes him... We want to make people our enemy, and we just assume that God is on our side. The one thing that we love about God is he always agrees with us. Or she. But sometimes when we take the wrath that we feel for our neighbor and we give it to God, sometimes what God says is, it's not that bad. I love them too. What Paul is saying is, there's a saying that's used often in 12-step programs, and that is, let go and let God. This is what Paul is saying. Let go of the rage that's in your heart. Let go of the anger that you have. Let go of the need for wanting someone to hurt in order to have your satisfaction. Let go of all that and give it to God. Because God is God. God will take care of them and you. God will right the wrongs. And sometimes righting the wrongs does not mean throwing a big disease on them or making them get hit by a bus. Sometimes it means we change our hearts. And sometimes the vengeance, the righting, the correcting that needs to be done is not with them, but with us. And we don't know that sometimes until we give that to God and learn a new perspective on the situation. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Again, for 2,000 years and beyond that, we have thought that if somebody hurts us, we hurt them. If somebody disagrees with them, we disagree with them. If somebody fights us, we fight them. What Paul is saying here is that the greatest weapon that we have is love. That it's not about fighting our enemies. It's about caring for our enemies. It's about praying for our enemies. It's about giving the situation to God. It's about sharing love in the world. It's about not trying to do this constant thing of you punch me, I punch you. You punch me, I punch you. When we throw love into the world, that's the one thing that evil cannot fight against. Things like love, and also known as forgiveness, acceptance, tolerance, celebration, listening. Those are all definitions of love. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is our moment. This is a new year, but this is our new moment. This is our new day. This is our new life. This is our new beginning. Can we start right now? And I know that we are flooded with social media and news and all of that stuff telling us that we are supposed to hate and that it's actually a noble thing to hate somebody. It's not. Can we start today by saying that it's not about the politics for me? It's not about the things. It's not about the status. It's not about the lifestyles. It's not about the race. It's not about picking a side. It's about love. My faith, when I call myself a Christian, that means, for me, it's about love. It means I'm not defined by what the news tells me I'm supposed to hate, and I jump on board and I just hate that person, and I spread all of these things, and I talk about capitalism and socialism and communism, and I talk about race, and I talk about all this kind of stuff, and I talk about from my soapbox that I'm right and the rest of the world is wrong. It's about acceptance. It's about love. It's about wanting to be a community with everybody. It's about loving everybody. It is about competing to be the most kind. It's about opening doors. It's about welcoming. It's about not letting evil overcome your life, but diminishing evil with love. Let that love be our moment now. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, today we begin our journey. Today we start fresh. Today we start anew. Today we are challenged by wanting to hate, wanting to argue. Today, at this moment, let us learn something new. Let us learn to use the pedals for kindness. Let us learn to steer the handlebars into nobility. Let us learn to ride on faith. And let us learn to invite others to the journey. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.